Supervisor Sanders.
I'm ready.
Ready to go, Shelley? Okay. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, the 16th of October, 2012. I would ask the audience to join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Next item three is public comments. This is comments from the public on items on today's agenda. Is there anyone that would like to comment at this time? Seeing no one, board, I'm going to ask the prerogative of the chair to give you a quick update at this time rather than waiting till the end of the meeting to board comments. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. This morning was a historic day in Story County. This was the actual takeoff of the Freedom Flight by which our veterans boarded the planes this morning in Des Moines to Washington, D.C. To tour the various veterans' memorials. I was fortunate enough to wake up and get out there this morning to see them all off and got down to the airport this morning. They left. They gathered around 4 o'clock this morning, departed about 4:45, and to see the veterans, the joy, the tears, the excitement, you know, is just incredible. There are a lot of people that deserve a lot of credit for this. First of all, I wanted to also acknowledge that the Tribune has should really get a lot of credit. I understand that they covered this event with a lot of publication and notifications about the events. There were a big spread that was presented last Sunday that was done by them and so forth. So I certainly want to acknowledge our local newspaper for the work that they did on behalf of this. Doug Bishop, as you all may know, is the Jasper County Treasurer. And Doug Bishop had done this previously for the Jasper County veterans. And in one of his meetings with Renee Tweed, our treasurer, they were discussing the success of this. And Renee got excited about it and wanted to know how this could be brought to Story County. And in collaboration with Doug and then meeting with Brett McLean and Luke Jensen, as well as our commissioners, it launched a planning committee that consisted of well over 20-some-odd people that pulled this off. And last Sunday was an outstanding day and celebration with a parade and a program at City Auditorium, and it was a packed house. There was standing room only. And this morning they embarked for D.C. and do plan to arrive later this evening. So in addition to Renee Tweet, I think Brett McLean, Luke Jensen, the entire Veterans Commission, and the Committee of 20 need a special thanks for our historic day. And there will be lasting memories that many of these veterans will have for a lifetime. So thank you for allowing me to add that in to begin today's board proceedings. Okay, item four, there is no minutes at this time, so we will defer that. We've had a little glitch in being able to get improved and so forth. That was no fault of the local here, but due to a technicality, I understand, with our new provider, I suppose. Item five, consideration of personnel actions. I think all personnel actions are good as submitted.
Move approval of the personnel actions.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve of the personnel action. Hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel actions are approved. On the consent agenda, item 6, add road closures number 1333 and number 1334 and one utility permit, number 1331. Okay.
I move approval of the consent agenda with the noted changes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded the approval of the consent agenda with noted changes. Roll call, Toot.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. So moving along to item number 8, under additional items, let me make
nope, seven
nope,
first,
nope,
yep.
nope, we got us number 7, public hearing item. Okay, thank you. It was tabled. It was first consideration of ordinance number 217, amending chapter 10 of the land development regulations. Is Charlie here? Do we have any update?
I'm confused why this on here.
It will have to be. We have to put it on. Right.
Okay. But it was clear that our intention was to send it back to staff, send it through the Planning and Zoning Commission, and come back in December.
Right. We tabled it. Yeah. Right. Until it comes back.
So do we have to open the public hearing? We have to go through a public hearing?
No. No, we will not have to do that. Okay. All right.
Anybody not clear that our intention, I believe our intention was to send it all the way to December.
Right.
So we just got to deal with this every week.
Yeah.
It'll probably actually be more like early January before we see
yeah.
it.
Just the planning and zoning, right. back to planning and zoning commission in
right.
December.
Great. Thank you. For
Is that. There a way for us to refer that, just refer this to that?
Well, we better check with the county attorney's office. They did send a memo to us earlier and did tell us that when we table it, that we need to acknowledge whether each time. In other words, they don't want this to hang out forever. We need to have a clear idea when it's going to come, and we've already stated that. But it might be that we could clarify that by stating that it's anticipated coming either December or January. So we'll check on that.
So what action do we need to take with this?
None today. Just the fact that it is, it's still tabled, so we're not removing it from the table. So, yeah, so there yep. is, okay. Okay, item 8 then is additional items. Consideration of separation of employment policy, HR Director Alyssa Wignall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I only had one comment, and there were two sections that this comment was made about. There was a statement that said all accrued vacation and compensatory time will be paid to the employee at the time of separation. The comment was that employees might take this as the day they leave, they're cut a check for their vacation and comp time. So I just added on the next regular payday after that statement, because they have to wait until the next payday to actually receive that compensation. So that was the only change
right.
on the policy from last week.
Great. Makes sense. So basically it's already gone through our 7-day review process.
Okay.
And that's the only change that has been noted. So, Board, what is your pleasure?
I'll move approval of the separation of employment policy.
Second.
As amended.
As amended.
Okay. We have a motion and a second, the approval of the separation of employment policy as amended. And I don't think that requires any additional review, since it was just administrative clarification policy. So with that, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, Alyssa, for your work in this area. Item 2 under additional items, discussion and consideration of purchasing chair mats for community service office for $2,116.78. We couldn't get those even numbers, huh, Deb? Okay. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This information, the estimation is provided by Story Kenworthy. I had talked to Al Hahn and his staff about this shortly after we completed our move to the lower level of the building. And at that point in time, Al's staff had checked with the Department of Transportation, because historically they had chair mats available for purchase, and that's where we had purchased them in previous years for our space upstairs. And upon looking into that, Al's staff found out that DOT no longer offers that particular product. So we talked with Story Kenworthy, and they came out and took a look at our space. The majority of the chair mats are the pretty standard size that fit the workstations. The ones that tend to be a little bit more money are those, we need three of them for our secretarial area. Those workstations are more rectangle in nature. They're not a traditional type of cubicle or workspace. So the rectangular mats are what will work for that particular area. And so those are a little bit more than what the regular mat prices are quoted. Al and I talked. We see value in having these chair mats for protecting the new carpet. We did look at reusing some of those that we had upstairs, and they were cracked or wouldn't stay in place. The little grabber things underneath had been worn through, so they wouldn't be able to stay in place with the carpet that we have now. So most of those were discarded because they had been used for almost 13 years. So that's the information that I have. Al had contacted me this morning and said that he had some things going on that he didn't know if he was going to be able to make it to the board meeting, but he said that facilities does have dollars in the remodeling budget to cover the expense of these chair mats. Are there any questions or comments?
That certainly makes it a lot easier as long as that we had it within the current budget and we don't have to worry about that. Obviously, this is, again, I don't know if this is so much of a question, but as Al has looked at the use, the amount of use and the movement to and from certainly would be advantageous to prevent further wear and tear on the carpet, which, you know, would be another expense that we would have to encounter. So we're talking about a total of just three mats in the one area, and is there others?
20.
So 20
total
altogether.
23 total.
23 total. Okay.
Three
me.
At the
the rectangular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And the rest of them are just the standard size.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. I view this as part of the remodel that we did. It's taken care of what we've put into that. It's $2,100 that we have available in the budget for purposes like this. So I move approval.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second, the approval of the replacement of mats for our community service building. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Great deal. Okay. Okay. Item 3, consideration of FY13 case management performance improvement plan. Aaron Rewards. Hi, Aaron.
Great.
Okay. This is a report that I that someone from my office brings every year, at least for your information, and it's a requirement of Chapter 24 in Department of Human Services that we complete this each year. I did present it to our Management Advisory Council last week, and they approved it as written. So I'm just going to highlight a few things that are kind of apparent, I guess, that have happened over the last year. We were due for our accreditation for our case management program in May of this year. A few months after that, I received a letter saying that our accreditation had been extended for another year. They seem to be a little behind in their reviews, so we haven't had that for a while. It'll be 4 years if they don't come back until next year. We also had a little change of staff in March. We had a case management supervisor that left in March that we did not replace. We still have 11 case managers on staff, and we served last fiscal year 18 more individuals than the previous year. Their average caseloads are now at about 31. This would have been the end of June, was the end of my report. So then we had about 31 for an average caseload. We had a total of 85 referrals last year, with 64 of those being admitted.
What's a reasonable number for caseload?
In our policies and procedures, we can go up to 45. Reasonable, in my mind, we've been so lucky to be able to have high quality in our paperwork and things like that, and 31 is our highest average that we've had, at least since I've been with community services, and that's 7 years. 35 to 40.
Okay. But at 31, we're still able to get everything done we need to get done with the 11 caseworkers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Aaron, has there been a move statewide to streamline the forms and documentation that has to be submitted? And as we move more and more towards electronic filing and many of the other types of things, is this still in the conceptual stage, or is there a definite timetable where you may see some real changes that would allow for less time actually in filling out documents and more time directly working with clients?
No, I don't see that changing a whole lot. We are going through quite a transition with a lot of areas. We are working with the Community Services Network, which, you know, ISAC is developing for us. And that's actually one of our goals for this year, is to be fully up and running in the case management module of that by the end of June. We are looking to actually bill from that system in January, hopefully. I don't have the total, but we're somewhere around 364 clients right now, and so we have to do a lot of uploading of our data and things like that to get that system to work for us. So we've been at that for probably 6 months already and are still kind of working on that. Do I think that system will streamline our paperwork a little bit? Yes, once it starts working well. It's still being worked on, so there's still a lot of bugs, and sometimes people lose what they've spent an hour typing, you know, in goals and things like that, and so that continues to be a bit of a frustration. But yes, I would hope that things would be more streamlined at some point.
Well, Aaron, I'm sure you're very well aware, but for Paul and Rich, you know, the CoStar group that I chair, dealing with technology from the through the Iowa Association of Counties, you know, this has been a priority issue for several years now. And last spring we had a good report where they think that a lot more of the counties now are more comfortable with the process. But it's amazing that it still takes a lot of time and effort to be able to bring a system like this into fruition so that it is widely used by all 99 counties. And so I still see, while I believe the CSN part pretty much is being used now by all of them, I think.
Right.
Now, even the four that, like the Polk and Lynn and others that have that's kind of off on their own little site. But yeah. Well, I think this is, again, something that we would hope that you guys will continue to let Robin Harlow know and our committee know that if there are still challenges out there that would help make the system a lot smoother so that they can continue to work on that from the ISAC point of view.
Right. Okay. File reviews is another big portion of what we do. We do quality assurance and that kind of thing. When Penny left us in March, I was a little nervous that we wouldn't meet our goal with that because she was a large portion of that process. We were able to review 31% of our files, which is what our goal is. 30% is where we'd like to be. So that was good. We do full file reviews, some just on after 60 or 90 days after someone has been admitted, those types of things. Our move to the lower building, the lower level of the building, was also quite an asset for our case management program because now we are all in one space, and the feedback from everyone is that it's good working space for them, and it's worked out very well. We continue to send the case managers to trainings through ISAC and things like that over the past year, so to keep everybody up to speed on new stuff. I sent out surveys this year to the providers. It was our year to do that. So I chose this year to do it on Zoomerang, which is similar to SurveyMonkey on the computer. So that was a new experience for me, but we got 50% response back, and that was the highest we've ever had. I think the downside to it is that people don't necessarily comment as much, so I didn't get as much feedback, but they answered the questions and things like that to give us some kind of idea as to how we were doing. And the majority of the feedback was that things were going very well, so that was good to hear. So our goals last year, we did meet both of them. Let me tell you quick what those are. The first one was for the case managers to utilize new technology to improve our jobs and efficiency and things like that. We've got several web-based programs. So we've got ISIS and IMPA, which is an IME program, and then also the CSN. So it was a lot of talking about those things. We can upload documents to IME very quickly through that IMPA system, and we are fully using that to its potential right now, which is nice. They don't seem to lose. Things don't seem to disappear as much either when we use that, so that's good. Our second goal was that we would enhance our team unity and work environment through some team building exercises and things like that. The case managers were, you know, we divided them into groups, and people would, each group would be in charge of some type of thing to keep our communication lines open and relationships and stuff. So our goals for next year are to be using the case management module, like I said, through CSN in its entirety by the end of June. One of the things that I found helpful there, ISAC does offer a few trainings. They do this typically through webinars, which for some people that works pretty well. For others, not so much. So I try to, in our conference room with the wireless capability that we have now, I try to boot up the computer during meetings at least maybe once a month, and we go through some of the things on there as far as what the system can do for them, because when you get busy, you don't spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to use something. So we do spend some time doing that, and that seems to be helpful. And then our second goal is just to adjust to the changes in the system and the mental health redesign.
Good luck.
Yeah, you know. So we're going to hopefully keep everybody informed as to what's going on and just look at, you know, that process and maybe what our case management program has to offer versus the others that we might be working with and that kind of thing. So, okay. Are there any questions or?
No, thank you. It's a very extensive report, so appreciate that, and thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you. I'd like to request approval for the report, if I may.
I would move approval.
Second.
Moved and second the approval of the report, performance improvement plan. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Aaron. Good. Okay. Item 4, consideration of resolution 1323 to set a date for the public hearing on entering into a tax increment revenue loan agreement to establish the Story County Urban Renewal Area and to enter into a loan agreement in a principal amount not to exceed $3,185,000 pursuant to the provision of Section 4039 of the Code of Iowa. Mr. Sanders, do you want to just update a little bit on this one?
Sure. This is us following the process that we have to follow to do this. There's nothing new in this. This is the $3.185 million that we approved when we originally set the urban renewal plan, when we approved the three projects, Dakins Lake, Vetter Equipment, and Country Club Road bike lanes. The first $500,000 of this almost $3.2 million would go to pay back the loan that we originally gave ourselves, so it's not entirely new debt, and it is, there's no projects in this debt that have not already been approved by this group. This is just following the process that we have to do to go ahead and get the debt, take on the debt, and I'll remind you both that December 1st is kind of the magic deadline that we're working with when it comes to TIF, in that that's when we have to certify debt for the upcoming year to our auditor, so that those TIF revenues are can be encumbered. So that's what it is. I will tell everybody that I did call our friend Arden Griner this morning just to let him know, or yesterday, just to let him know that this was on the agenda, explain to him exactly what it was, and let him know how we're moving. And again, the big thing I'd underscore is we're not talking about doing anything that we haven't already approved.
Right, right. Great. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Supervisor Sanders, Paul, anything? Okay. So we are.
I believe we need a motion
to set the date.
Set the date, and I would move that we set the date for next Tuesday, which is the 23rd.
Everything published.
And Shelly went to work hard on that.
Been working on that according to her email. Is that correct, Shelly? The 23rd. Okay.
She shakes her head. Yes.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to set the date for the public hearing on next Tuesday, the 23rd, to enter into a tax increment revenue loan agreement. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, Sanders.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Resolution 1323 is adopted, setting the public hearing for the 23rd of October. Okay. Item 5, discussion of the Dickens Lake project timeline. Conservation Director Michael Cox, welcome.
What a happy coincidence.
Good morning. Well, let's see. Yeah, speaking of TIF, as you've already mentioned, you know, the Dickens Lake is one of the three projects that you've included in the TIF project. And so I guess this morning I just wanted to take a little bit of time, not a lot, just to update you on where we've come, where we are in the process of design, and then to look forward a little bit and talk about time frame for your decisions on moving forward to the next stage. So we contracted with Shive Hattery Design Firm to do everything from our master planning and preliminary design through to now bid document design. They have completed 50% design documents, and we do have a 50% cost opinion. Their next deadline is November 1st, and that is when they are to produce the 95% cost opinion and design documents. So moving forward from that, Conservation Board has scheduled their meeting for November 20th, and that is when they will take action on recommending or not recommending that we move forward with that plan. And then I'll bring that, their recommendation, forward to this body for approval in moving forward with that plan. Tentatively, we've got that down for the 27th of November. It's feasible that might be the next week, the 4th, if we don't have any requirements through TIF to have it done on the 27th, it might happen on the 4th.
And I can't see why we would have requirements to have this part done on the 27th. I mean, the requirement on us for December 1st is we got to certify
that.
If we handle that between now and then, we should be good to go.
As long as you don't go over the $3 million, we'll be good.
I would think so.
$3 million, woohoo. Pull back. About 2.5 is what we got.
As long as you didn't go over.
All right.
Well, let's see, on that note, pending with the assumption that this body would give approval if we stay under Paul's... Never mind.
Yeah. One vote.
Anyway, if you guys so choose and we do move forward into construction, then our timeline would be January 7th to put bids on the street. And then award... award contracts probably in the middle February. So you see some other dates there. February 11th would be the date that the Conservation Board would again recommend approval to award bids, and then turn around the next day to come to this body for that formal approval. So as we've said from the outset with this project, it's a pretty aggressive timeline, and we knew that from the beginning. And I think that you know, our engineers and staff and board and public input, our supporters, if you will, that are reviewing the plans with us, the mayor of Zeering, folks from DNR, et cetera, have done really well in helping us keep on track with our schedule, and we have done that. So very, very nice to be able to do that. looking forward, if we award bids in February, we have contractors on the ground, theoretically as soon as, you know, could be in the March, depending on the weather. And then all the construction would happen again, theoretically. We're going to do it in one phase, and so construction would probably wrap up, I'm going to say September, give or take. Probably take, well, hopefully, if we don't have a dry summer like this, we can get some refill in the new lake pretty quick, or fill, I should say, refill in the existing lake. And then be open for business in the following spring. So that would be the spring of 14, have the new lake, boat launch, campground, etc., completed at that by then. So,
Mike, are there Iowa companies that have had projects similar to this that may or may not be potential bidders that we would have to use as a comparison, usually when you bring in bids of different things, depending upon, it would be great if they were Iowa companies, but obviously we don't always know that. But I think having similar type of lake expansion and so forth like that does make a big difference in terms of our comfort level, and particularly if they have been able to be on time, complete things in a timely fashion. As you all, we all know, construction industry, a lot depends on the weather and many other factors that enter into play, and hopefully we would be able to move forward. So are you aware, do companies normally send out feelers prior to the actual bid letting, either through Shive Hatterley or what? Do you know?
We have, I guess, kind of through the grapevine.
Don't have to actually name the company.
Yeah, no,
but
sure. Through the grapevine, we've heard that there is some interest. And I think that there are firms in the area that have this capability. We'd probably be looking at the way we're designing it right now is that we would hire a prime contractor that would then sublet out different disciplines to other contractors. But yeah, I think that, no, there is that expertise in firms in the area.
You've done a great job staying on track so far.
You bet.
It's a great job by you and staff and everybody who's been involved. And I know it's an aggressive timeline, but it's the right timeline. I mean, it's how we need to get this done. So thanks.
Okay. If there are no further questions, this is actually a discussion at this point. And I think what you are asking for is just some acknowledgement that the board supports the timeline as close to as you've laid it out. Is that
for the most part, I wanted just to make sure that the board's aware of, as we move forward, what the timelines are and answer any questions you may have.
The Conservation Board was presented this timeline at last Monday's meeting and so forth, and felt that they were supportive of that. But like anything, they need to bring it before the board so that you know, we see if it's going to be able to fit in with our requirement to certify debt and so forth in order for them to move forward. So
that's
thank
the
you,
beauty
Mike.
Of controlling the checkbook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah. We didn't have no formal action, but it was because they did want to get input from us. but there was no, what do you call it, concern that it was unreasonable. And then they will go back and handle this at a later time for formal approval, if that's probably the correct way that you will operate. Mike, how are you envisioning that will happen? Why don't you come up just a minute, just on mic? I'm curious because, I mean, it was the understanding that this timeline would be appropriate and feasible, and you wanted to really bring it to the Board of Supervisors to see what action that we needed to take in order to make sure that this was feasible. What do you anticipate the next step would be as far as the Conservation Board?
Well, I guess I wasn't anticipating that the board would have to take, formal action on the timeline per se, but that the timeline would identify when formal action by the boards, by both boards, would be presented. So I wasn't really intending to go back to the Conservation Board for approval of the timeline. There was, as Mr. Chair, you've said, there was some questions from the board just to make sure that everything fits in with TIF and the requirements, etc. But other than that, there was support of the timeline. We will move forward with as far as some dates that aren't included in that document you have. They're kind of in the background for how we're pushing this project forward. But when we receive those 95%, we'll have a work session with the Conservation Board and staff to review those 95% documents. So that's the next thing, I guess, timeline for Conservation Board.
Are you anticipating any public hearings or public opportunities once we receive that 95 before we move forward?
Through the, through the normal processes with when those bodies take action, those will be the opportunities for public comment.
Okay. All right. Good. Any other questions to Mike at this time? Okay. All righty. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Moving on to item number 9, agency reports. I don't see any. Departmental report, information technology. Barbara, welcome.
Okay. I bet you've been wondering what IT has been up to, so I thought I'd prepare this little report. We do a lot of things. I just wanted to highlight some of the high items. The first one would be the CLIP application, which I'm sure you're sick of hearing about that, and it's been a thorn in our side. Last week, there was a flurry of problems and issues with errors that the users were receiving. This week, it's been pretty quiet, and it seems to have its ups and downs. The one item that I think is the most important for this whole project to work is the way that the external users connect to the database, and we've given them Verizon modems to use on the laptops. Been an issue. A lot of times the connection drops. Not a lot we can do about the Verizon end of it. We thought we would try to make a change with the VPN connection. We're currently using an old concentrator that has probably seen better days, but we'd like to introduce them to a new way of connecting through our firewall. And so the network administrator is working on new instructions, and we're going to implement that this week. We met with Gayla and her team last week to tell them about this. They're willing at this point to try anything. There's a lot of things we can't control, such as the user's computer literacy. That'll always be an issue. They have a high turnover, so they're constantly training new people. But if this new software and this new connection works fairly well, I think it will make them feel a lot more comfortable about the CLIP application. Another project we're working on is the OSSI project. This is the mobile laptops for the Sheriff's Department. we feel like we're kind of stumbling on this because we have to depend on electronic engineering to get the car ready before we can install the laptop. And we've got a whole row of laptops sitting in IT ready to be put out, but they can only do 2 to 3 cars per week. So if we continue with that, I'm not sure if we'll meet the November 27th deadline, which is when the new software has to be installed, and these laptops have to be in place before that. So
all of them have to be in place before that, or can you just make sure that those that are installed would be able to be accessed, and then it should be just simple to bring the others on, unless this is a system that is totally dependent upon, you know, everybody being a part of the network?
OSSI has expressed their desire that all of the laptops be implemented at that time so that there's no repeat training or repeat issues. Personally, I don't think they do have to be installed. Once we see what the, you know, the procedure is, we can take on a lot of that ourselves.
Well, originally we were only talking about buying 6 laptops anyway this year.
Right, this year.
We weren't going to be able to meet that.
Right, exactly.
And now and there's, I think
they
like, 23?
They should have been aware of that.
Right. Yeah. So I think we'll be okay on that. We just want to make sure that everybody is of the same understanding.
Yeah. Well, just put up a good argument and just put your foot down, okay?
And the problem with this is there's a lot of moving pieces, and we, of course, we have the weekly meetings and things, but still all of the IT teams involved, you know, us and Ames, weren't on the same page. So what we did last week is we initiated our own meeting, and we brought in Steve Shalim and some others to see exactly what we need, because Swanson is saying they're not getting what they need for IP access. OSSI says we don't know what you're talking about. So we did get together and have a meeting. I think we feel more confident now about our role in this project and that we can meet the demands of everything that's required of us. So that's a good feeling on our part. Now we can point the finger at them.
What's the problem with GPS? Not tracking.
I think we need another map layer. Sometimes when the cars get out in certain areas, we can't find them. We don't know where they're at. So we've asked OSSI for another map layer, and they've agreed they think this will resolve that issue. As you know, I've been looking into for my project for next year is the IP phone system. To date, we've met with 4 different vendors, ACS, Alliance Technologies, Black Box, and LightEdge. So I think we've got a pretty well-rounded idea of what's available, what's out there, what these vendors can offer for us. We're just waiting for them to come in with their preliminary quotes. One thing I liked about the LightEdge proposal, everyone else is proposing that we purchase all the hardware here and house it here. LightEdge has a hosted solution where we just purchase the phones. I think this has good implications for disaster recovery.
Right.
Go on your, and I've worked with this system before. You go on the website, it's all web hosted, so you can configure your phones, everything from home. So in the case of a disaster, this building went away, we'd still have the option to forward the desk phones to a cell phone or an alternate number, and there is an option within this feature that it automatically kicks over that you don't have to do that. So that's pretty interesting. I'll be interested to see what they come back with.
Remind me how old our current phone system is.
1993.
And has technology changed since 93?
It has just a little. And what I've done, too, to get some input from the different departments, I sent out an email asking, you know, what do you like about the system? What don't you like? What would you like to change? I've gotten one response so far, so hopefully people are just busy. I might send a reminder out next week. I'd like to get input before we actually do the presentations so that we make sure that everybody's needs are addressed. And I have talked to Dina McKenna from the Sheriff's Office about this, and she's interested, too, to see the demonstrations. They had another issue they came to us with their Amber Alert phone system. They'd like to be able to record the calls that come in. With this new system, they have that ability. It's where how do we meet that need between now and then? We found a little recording device on Amazon that we're going to try, and I ordered that. It should be delivered today. So we're going to try that, just get a couple of them, and if that's what they need, then if they think it does what they need it to do, then they'll have that until then. So,
Barbara, question, and I guess just a thought, but I would need the support of my other two colleagues as well, and Alyssa. Is it possible, since you've sent the survey request out, that we might consider having a staff meeting and making this one of the main agenda topics, sending that out again, and if not, we will make sure that this is discussed within that meeting, understanding the importance of trying to be at a point so we can move forward and have the best available information there. But I think that sometimes that we do, Barbara, for your sake, when usually in our staff meetings, usually IT is on the agenda and has an opportunity to really talk about some of the things that you're contemplating. But I think if we clearly identify this as a hot topic and one that we want to have some input from, we can probably schedule one of those a lot sooner. Yeah, in November? Yeah. Yeah, right after the election and so forth, as soon as possible. Okay?
That sounds good. I have another item, too, that would be good for that agenda. We'll get to that in a minute. I wanted to move on down to the DOT fiber project. You know, we had this big request from ICN that we pay them $15,000 for the fiber and the trenching for this small job that they're going to do for us. Before that was, the contract was signed, ICN came back and said, well, we'd like access to these two fiber runs that you have in Kellogg and Clark Street in Ames. So, of course, that would have to be added to the contract. After they asked this, we pulled together our network diagrams and kind of drew the scenario of these two areas they want access to. My concern is what kind of access, when. The ICN can take up our entire bandwidth if they want to. I'm not sure that's an agreement that we just add that as an addendum. I think it needs to be looked into a little more closely. And also the ICN has an agreement with their customers that if their system is down, they've got a four-hour window to bring that back up. Are we going to be held to that same window? I think that's, we don't have the resource for something like that. So I think with this, what initially appeared to be a pretty straightforward contract needs to be fleshed out a little bit. A lot of things need to be spelled out. And so I sent a list of my questions back to the DOT and then ICC Jessica on that so that she was aware of the questions that I had. And I have not heard back from them yet. With the addition of our network administrator, we've been doing a lot of network discovery. We've been meeting with our vendors, Windstream, IP Pathways, Blackbox. Normally, a company has one vendor who they get their connectivity through. Since we're all over the county, we've got all these to work with. But I want to make sure that with the, this is in conjunction with the IP phone system, a lot of it requires a SIP access through a SIP gateway, and the only one in the area is in Ames, and that's controlled by Windstream. So we want to make sure that we have total access to that and that we don't get down the project of actually implementing an IP phone system and find out, oh, guess what, you don't have SIP access, so we need to stop. So we're kind of laying the groundwork there. And also, I think it is good that they know we now have a network presence in the county. We haven't had one for a year. So the vendors have been very receptive and have offered solutions and suggestions. They almost seem to have been in a waiting mode, like, oh, we're so glad you came to us. So they've been able to clarify a lot of the questions and things that we have surrounding the actual connectivity.
Is there a question of a seamless system, assuming you know, since Ames has Windstream, and if we were looking at maybe a different vendor, as one of the things that we've talked about for a number of years is trying to, through either emergency management or through our, you know, sheriff's network and so forth, is trying to come up with a more seamless system. Because of the importance of connectivity to Iowa State, to Ames, which is our largest municipality. So my question basically would be, as we explore this, would it be in our best interest to really try to flush out whether or not having a system similar to that would be more advantageous than having more than one? Now, the reason I ask the question is, would the connectivity for the city of Ames be able to access if we were went with any one of these other vendors? And I guess this is probably more of a question, is would any of these play into any emergency disaster response?
Well, ultimately, they're all connected. However, and that was my first thought, let's get rid of three different vendors. Let's get something seamless. Let's go with one. However, Windstream brought up the point that if there is a fiber cut, you know, that would give us at least some backup capability. Usually, if Windstream has a fiber cut, CenturyLink does not. So it kind of gives us a little more stability from that standpoint. Also, another reason to meet with these, if we do implement the IP phone system, there is an opportunity to not have as many T1s as we do. So this helps us evaluate where's our money going, how is it better spent. So I see these projects kind of intertwined.
What kind of timeline do you see on us considering these things?
The phone system? I'd like to put it into the next year's budget and have it tentative August-September implementation.
Okay.
I think that'll give us enough time. Right now we're just in information gathering, but I think that would give us enough time to engineer the system that works for us.
So you're able to gather enough information between now and December, January when we work on budgets to be able to plug that in?
That's my goal.
Okay.
I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about Civic Plus. Shelley's been having some issues. They have assured us that the Agenda Center issue has been resolved and the crashing issue. I'm not sure, has it crashed on you yet today, Shelley? Yay, cross our fingers. They did install an update last week. The problem working with them was they could not repeat it at their facility, and we weren't getting an error message. People were just getting booted out. So there's not a lot of troubleshooting they could do. They did think that the problem with the Agenda Center was the blank pages that people have when they submit documents to Shelley. If there's a blank page at the end, suddenly the system just can't read it, and so it throws it out. So they think they've resolved those issues. I'm anxious to hear. Make sure you let me know, Shelley, if you have any issues. Because we really have spent a lot of money on this whole website, and I think that I wasn't impressed with their support. I had sent them emails on other issues and haven't really gotten a satisfactory response. So I want to make sure that they address these.
Yeah, and I'd go one step further and say our utilization of Civic Plus has also maybe not been where I'd like to be. I know you and Alyssa and I have a meeting next week. Do we have next month, where the three of us are going to discuss it and try to come forward to you guys with some kind of recommendations. But I know when we sat here and we decided to go with Civic Plus, the things we were told it would do, we've struggled getting done. Some of it, I believe, is the software issue, but some of it is, I believe, the way we're utilizing it and the way things are tied together. And so we just need to get to the bottom of it.
Great. Thank you. Look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to bring to your attention the Tyler Technology Encode update software installation that's coming up in January. We did meet with the team from Tyler Technologies, and this is something that we can't, you know, wait until December and say, oh, guess what, we're upgrading next month. What I was told is that they had already sent out a gap analysis and a timeline several months ago and did not receive a response. They're kind of stalled in the water right now because they don't know how to proceed. The upgrade will occur, but they don't know, they haven't gotten feedback on the gap analysis. I did send this back out again last week and ask for some feedback. Have not got any, but I think I need to schedule a meeting. And would this be something to go on the meeting that you mentioned earlier? I think we need to. I know it's the election time and people are busy, but it's not going to get any less busy. So we need to make sure that if there are issues, Tyler needs to have time to resolve those.
Is the Tyler one particularly the one that is that the assessor primarily is the primary user, or is this something that the auditor and the real estate?
This is the real estate.
So it's the real estate portion. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very important one that we need to get resolved. So. Yeah.
I think it's probably going to depend on when we schedule the staff meeting.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
I could, you know, have a separate meeting. And if nothing else, the meeting will prompt people to, the day before, read the gap analysis.
Especially if you bring food.
Good suggestion. I think we need to get the discussion started.
Right. You bet.
I agree that it's a separate meeting. I think the auditor the auditor's staff are key players in this. And I, between now and November 6th, I don't know that it's doable. So, I mean, I know it's compressing things. But number one priority over in the auditor's office has to be the election between
Definitely.
Now and then.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right. Great. Good.
Any questions?
No.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for the update. Continue doing a good job. Thank you. Keeping us. Okay, moving on down the line to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul, anything?
I'll just let you guys know. I think I may have done this yesterday. We did get a letter from the Iowa Economic Development Authority in regards to our grant application for Phase 2 of the Squaw Creek Watershed Management Authority, and we were not successful in that endeavor. And so I guess I don't know what that means for the Management Authority. We have a meeting scheduled sometime towards the end of November, and we'll decide where we're going from there, but we weren't successful in our grant application, so... So much for that.
Pass.
I had a brief meeting yesterday with Gayla. The scope of the meeting was just a kind of a quick update as to the challenges, personnel changes, and these things that were going on. She certainly wanted to acknowledge Alyssa and Paul for you sitting in last week where you all visited with staff. Just to kind of put out some, maybe some, discuss some concerns with the regionalization and the fact that we maybe weren't filling a position or two with retirement in terms of some of the things. And one of the things that Gayla did point out that some of the staff, rather than in years past, have been looked upon as specialists in certain areas, will have to become more a generalist now. They will have to maybe take on some of the additional responsibilities. That has been communicated to them. There seems to be people already on board, but I think that with this whole area of redesign and regionalization, they're all wondering, you know, what this impact will be and whether or not the current system, county-run system, will be in jeopardy. So I think the meeting that you guys had was well-received, and she just wanted to update me, and I will certainly be taking that forward as well to get more clarity from Director Palmer when the ISTAC group meet next week. To see just how, you know, the implementation phase is going and if there are a couple other topics that we need to really talk about. But other than that, that was about it.
Well, the reality is we've got so much that's unknown about this mental health redesign right now and how it's going to affect us here in Story County, and the unknown is always more scary than the known. And so, Paul, I'm appreciative that you went over with Gayla and Alyssa just to visit with staff and just lay out, well, here's what we know. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of questions we can't answer right now. We don't have enough information to be able to answer those, and we just got to keep plugging away in as open and forthright a way as possible.
And, Rick, I will have to tell you that Gayla probably said that maybe Paul was the right person.
There's no question.
Maybe just...
Not even any doubt at all.
I don't know
that.
What it is about how you were able to kind of present that, but
we were paying them an hour's worth of overtime, and we knew if you were there, we were going to run way over the overtime budget. So.
Great. Well, good.
If I were there, I would have scared them even more.
I just wanted you to know that Gayla thought that you were really the right person. You helped smooth the whole meeting. Thank you. Okay. So, other moving then on, other let's see, other reports. Item 13, public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action at this time, but may do so in the future. Is there anyone that wants to bring an item to our attention? Okay. Item 14, announcements from supervisors.
Pass.
Yep. I think I just mentioned next week a meeting with Director Palmer and so forth, so I'll update you a little bit as to how that goes, looking at regionalization and its impact, and particularly the implementation timeline. Since everything has already gone out in terms of counties, I think both Deb and Gayla are putting together facts and figures to make sure that we cover everything possible in their application request, so that we can receive or at least be considered for the most dollars possible. Okay, so
well, we got to have a plan if we don't.
Yep.
I mean, it's
all
just
right.
It's those two things. Move adjournment. Second.
Been moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Meeting is adjourned.